Apollos by Pastor Mark Hornbaker, First Baptist Church, Lewis, Kansas.
Apollos. Sometimes this particular portion of Scripture reminds me of a little bit of we become a better preacher when we know more about the truth, don't we? And that was the case for Apollos. Apollos, it appears, as the Scripture described it, was an eloquent person. In other words, he could really communicate with his audience. He knew how to share the Word. He was sharing the Old Testament. He was instructed in that, pretty much. But much of that Old Testament is very hard to understand if you don't have the proper background. And what I mean by the proper background is come to the knowledge and understanding that it's all about Jesus Christ. The whole book, New and Old Testament alike, are about Christ. And as we've said many times before, in the Old Testament, he's kind of concealed. He's hard to discover. But Christ then came into the world and openly revealed himself in the New Testament. But during the time of the early church, they didn't have the New Testament. They didn't have the Gospels. They didn't have Paul's writings. They didn't have John's revelation. By the way, we studied that on Sunday nights. And that's a unique book in that it promises a blessing to those that study from it.
Amen.
You know, we're going to be the first to say that we don't have all the answers. We don't know all about the book. The more you begin to understand about the Lord, the more you understand there's more to know. Right?
Amen.
And there's things that we're not sure of. But this we're sure of, the Lord is alive and real. He's working in our world. He's changing lives. And he gives us a hope for the future. Amen? I'm glad that we have a hope for the future, aren't you? I mean, there are a lot of people that go through life and they don't have hope of beyond here. You know, I can't, for my life of me, figure out how people get through life without Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, it boggles my mind because this life was awful short. It only seems like yesterday when I was a kid. And I enjoyed those times and those days when we did different things. And yesterday, so happens we had an opportunity. The new nephew, my niece Sarah's husband, still plays basketball. And he invited me to come watch them play. It's a collection of guys that played college basketball. So some of them are pretty good yet. Some of them still what I call have the hops. You know, they used to call it the hops. You could jump up really high and slam it in. Well, they had several of them on the team. Plus, they had a 7-footer on the team. Those guys that did most of the dunking, about 6'5", 6'6". And Brian is his name, Sarah's husband, plays a guard position for him. And Brian's about 6'1", or a little over, something like that. And he played up in Nebraska college basketball. And Brian can shoot still. Wow, I watched him shoot them three-pointers. He liked to get out there. And I think most of their points were three-point shots. If they missed, one of those big guys inside would whip it out there and one would put it in from three-point range. And anyway, the first game was 100 and something to 30-something, I think. They have what they call as a mercy rule. 2 20-minute halves. If they're over so many points ahead with 10 minutes to play in the second half, they cut the game off. So they had 100 and some points in that first game, and they had 113 in the second game. Well, they could play ball. Still. For old guys. You know, they weren't old. I mean, they're probably all in their 20s yet. You know? Huh? Boy, I don't know. They're not their hustle being with their. Well, yeah, I guess they are already. Brian is. Yeah, he's in his 30s already. They look like kids to me. You know? When you get past 60, well, they all look like kids. You know? Right? Most of you know what I'm talking about. We don't always have what we used to have, do we? And it's important for us to realize the important things in life.
That's right.
The important things in life. Family is important to me. The Lord's work. Sharing Christ with people. Those are important things. And I don't have all the answers about how do you share Jesus with other people. But you know what? The Holy Spirit does. Amen?
Amen.
And He was the one that was guiding them and helping them. And as I look at this particular text this morning, I realize that although Paulus was very eloquent, although he could share what he knew very appropriately and effectively with people, he didn't fully understand how Jesus Christ was the answer, and it was Him that the Old Testament Scripture was all about. Mm-hmm. Let me share the importance of that. In the synagogue and in the Jewish mindset, they were looking for the Messiah to come. They were still expecting Him. And if you recall, it talked about Apollos sharing about the baptism of John. Well, that was talking about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was the forerunner for Christ. He's the one that prepared the people. How did he try to get the people prepared? By calling them to repentance. Repent, he said. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's at hand. And so he was the one that set the stage for Christ. And that's what Apollos knew. And so really Apollos was expecting Messiah to come. But he didn't understand fully that Messiah had already come. Now he's coming again. He's promised that, hadn't he?
Yeah.
In his word. And in fact, God's people that know the scriptures understand that Jesus Christ could come back at almost any time. You know, as I look at our world today, I realize that is more true and more true every day. And if you want to understand about the coming of Christ, what you really got to do is focus your attention on the Middle East. Israel and all the nations that surround her. Okay? Because we know this. We know that before Christ comes, all those nations are going to be opposed to her. They're going to be against her. I'll just throw something out there for your thought. Back in Old Testament prophecies, by the way, it talks about the bear coming out of the north.
Russia.
I believe that's Russia. Okay? Guess where Russia is today? They're doing a lot with Syria right now, aren't they? Okay, just put that in there and let it simmer a little while. okay, and realize that they're up north of Israel right now, okay? And we got all this stuff going on everywhere, not only there, but to just throw a little bit in there, we've got North Korea as well, don't we? We've got a guy that, I hope he's smart enough. I hope he's smart enough not to try to detonate one of them nukes. Aren't you?
Definitely. He did one, but it failed.
Yeah, he put some missile up there. And
I expect that's what's going to happen to all of them.
It's a bit concerning, though, isn't it? The world we live in. And then to the east, you've got Iran to the east of Israel. And you've got all this other chaos going on all around Israel. And the Word of God says this in Matthew's Gospel. Jesus himself said, you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. The end time. So we got all that going on. It's important to put everything in context and understand it's nothing is sneaking up on God. Okay? God knows what's going to happen. God has a plan. When the devil thinks he's got us, God's got him. Okay? Wow. You know, if we just sat down and we took all those thoughts and those ideas and put them together and we deeply contemplated about all that's going on in our world and what God says is going to happen, it almost drives us insane.
Yep, sure would.
That's why today, more than ever, we've got to trust the Lord.
Amen.
We've got to depend on Him and His guidance, look to His Word, know that it's true, and follow Him each and every step of every day.
Amen.
And we know He's got us, and the devil can't have us. You know what? Well, that's about the only things we know in this world. Because we live in a world of complete chaos. And the only thing that calms the chaos is Christ. He's the only one that can calm the chaos in our lives. And so while the world is going hectic, if you will, going whichever way it can but loose, we need to reach out to the Lord, trust Him, and say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done.
Amen.
Because I know your will and your way is the best way. Apollos was an eloquent preacher. He knew how to share the Old Testament effectively. But can you believe and understand how more effective he could be when he began to understand that Jesus Christ was the Son of God? That he was the Messiah? Oh, that's basically what the end of our text says. After he began to really understand, then he could share more effectively with the people that needed to understand about the truth of Christ and who he really was. Apollos was a man that needed to understand more. And it so happened that God always has someone to help people that need to know more. Okay? And this is a unique couple named Aquila and Priscilla. Aquila and Priscilla. As you read through the New Testament, you'll find their names mentioned again and again. Why? Because they were great helpers of the work of the Lord. They understood the basic doctrines. Apollos probably wasn't a great preacher, but I guarantee you he and Priscilla could explain the scriptures effectively. And though you may not be a great preacher or proclaimer of the truth, it's important for you and me alike to know what the truth says and be able to share that truth with others so that they can come to a better understanding of the truth. It's one of the reasons I'm so behind our ministry of sharing with kids. From the little ones on up, you know, getting the Word of God in their hearts, understanding who Jesus is, how He can make a difference in their lives, what the Scripture's about. I can remember as a kid learning all those Bible stories. Those were vital lessons learned. I like the story about David and Goliath. No? The little shepherd boy was the story. Have you noticed kids can really learn, though, when we put it to song? Those little songs stick in kids' hearts. And when they're adults, those truths are there.
Amen.
It's important to know those scriptures, but it's important, far more important, to know the one those scriptures are really about. David, Samson. You know, I like to read those stories again and again. Remember when Samson got a bit upset? I guess Samson really had it coming to him because he decided that none of the Israelites were good enough for him, and he did something that he ought not to do. The Word of God is very clear on who we're to be in close contact with and those that we have personal, intimate relations with. Samson decided, I'll go over here and I'll get me a Philistine wife. And I guess they gave her away before he got back. Yeah. Remember that story about the foxes? Yeah. He caught and he put a firebrand between their tails and ran through the wheat fields and burned up all the wheat. They were really upset about him. That's quite a story. Better than that, how about the jawbone of the donkey that he took, slew 1,000 of those Philistines when they came to try to get him? How about Delilah? You like Delilah? She was a soothsayer, wasn't she? Tell me where your strength lies so I can bind you and these guys can come and torment you. Whoa. That's the wrong girl, Samson. She doesn't have your best interest at heart. She doesn't really love you. It's important to learn those things, though, isn't it? But it's also important to learn how those apply to us, right? How that Old Testament is really designed to show us and point us all to Christ. How that we need Jesus Christ in our lives. Apollos came to know that. He was a certain Jew born at Alexandria, that's Egypt. An eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, and he came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligent of the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. He began to speak bold in the synagogue, and Aquila and Priscilla had heard. They took him to them and expounded to him the way of God more fully. You know, that's kind of what I got when I went off to school. Nothing like learning from practiced and polished preachers. But that's kind of the way, people used to learn, what if there's kind of a mentoring process or an internship, and you would go and work with somebody that's really good at their skill. Now, there's a particular qualification, I believe, that you've got to have in order to be a preacher. You know, and I firmly believe this, okay? When I was in junior college, right when I got out of high school, had to take English, okay? And we had to do some writing. And the teacher said, you ought to become a preacher. I've noticed your writing. You write almost like a preacher. She said it's a good occupation. But she treated it just like carpentry or any other occupation. If you're not called of God, you better not be a preacher. You better make sure of that first. Because you're going to be about as ineffective and unable to do the work of God if you didn't have the Spirit calling you and the Spirit directing you in your life. You're going to have no effect whatsoever. You might as well join some society. It's about as effective as you'll be as a minister of God. Because you've got to be God called. Listen, you've got to be God called in order to be effective. Amen. What were the prophets? The Lord. God called, weren't they? God empowered. God used. I like to look at them and understand and learn from them. I like Elijah. How about Elijah? You like Elijah? Guess who he mentored? Elisha. Elisha. Who did twice as many miracles as Elijah. But he learned from Elijah, didn't he? What I'm saying, all that to say this, is sometimes we don't know what we need to know. We need to be taught by others. And Priscilla and Aquila were those people for Apollos. Could you imagine how much more effective he was after he understood those scriptures that they were talking about Jesus Christ than he was before he didn't understand that? A difference between light and day. When God began to work in his life, and the scripture says in verse 27, when he was disposed to go into Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly sharing the scriptures, that Jesus was Christ. In other words, Jesus is the Messiah. Amen. And how did he come to understand that? By the teaching of a faithful and devoted Christian couple that took him off to the side and said, hey, you understand part of it, but here's the rest of the story. Kind of like Mr. Harvey. I used to like to listen to some of his commentary. And he would tell his story, and then the final part was the rest of the story. Here's the rest of the story.
Amen.
On Apollos. When Apollos understood that Jesus Christ is the answer, that he's the Messiah, What did he do? He went back to his own people because he was a Jew and he wanted them to understand. Sounds a lot like Paul, doesn't it? Remember what Paul did wherever he went to a city? He would go in, he'd first go to the synagogue. He wanted to talk to those Jewish people there. He wanted them to understand. Why? Because Paul came from there. He knew where they were. He knew how they thought. So did Apollos. So did Paul. Begin to more understand who Jesus was. Do we understand who he is? Do we understand what his life means? Do we understand how different our lives are now because we know Jesus and he's in our lives and he's changing us and making us into new people? Do we really understand? Sometimes I wonder, you know? Because if we really understood what he means to us, a lot of times we'd be more fervent in our spirit for the Lord Jesus. Amen? Often, too often, we're living kind of lackadaisical and we're just kind of going through the motions and we're not serving the Lord with our whole heart fervently. We need to sell out to the Lord. People, these, I believe, are the end times. You know, I kind of chuckled the other day because, you know, when you watch TV, it's hard telling what kind of program advertisement's going to come up. You know, you can watch something, and here comes something else. Something about a year million, is it? Or something, they have some kind of a movie out now. I just kind of caught that in passing. And I thought, I don't believe the Lord's going to let her go on that much longer. Huh?
That's what it said.
We got a long ways to go if it goes for a million. Right? I mean, we're only in year 2000. I have a hard time thinking about 1,000 years, let alone a million. We don't know how long God will leave us here. We don't know. But I know this. There's a lot of work to do. Amen?
Amen.
There's a lot of people that need to know the Lord in a real and personal and intimate way. And they live right in our community. And the best way to let them know about Jesus is live the right way.
Amen.
Live the right way. And if we live the right way before them, there will come an opportunity to share with them the right way in their life. Amen? I believe it. I believe that both go together. You know, I came, you know, there's both crowds. Okay? And I think somewhere in the middle is the real place to be. Okay? I grew up in a community of believers that thought that if I just live the right way, everybody would come to Christ. Okay? I've been around people over in this camp over here that said, the only way people are going to know about it is tell them about it. And then they didn't live like they as a Christian. I believe we've got to live here somewhere in the middle. We've got to live for Jesus, but we've got to tell them about Jesus too.
Amen?
Amen? Somewhere in the middle is the real place to be. We've got to have both working together. And I think when Apollos came to know the real truth about the Scriptures and he began to expound that, the Holy Scriptures could be taken by the Spirit of God and touch people's lives and grip them in a dramatic way.
Yes.
And you know what? The same Spirit is there in our world today. Amen?
Amen.
In fact, the Word of God tells me He's living inside of us if we're a believer. Amen. He's there to help us and to guide us and show us the right way, what to say and what not to say. So sometimes it's important just not to say anything. You know? Don't get me started on that. Gary's laughing because he knows where I'm going.
Just don't say anything.
Don't say anything. Because if I get started on that, all I'll say is this. Pray for those in governing positions.
Amen.
They need our prayers. In fact, God's Word teaches us to pray for them. They don't understand how much they need the Lord and His guidance. They don't understand what a big mess we're in. Of course, we're all in a big mess without Jesus, aren't we? But praise God, He's still there for us. He loves us. He cares for us. And I pray that you know Him in your heart in a real way, and that He will bless you and guide you and give you peace and comfort in the midst of all the strife and chaos of our world. Amen?
Amen.
Because that's what we need. And that's what we need to be as God's people. And people will look at you and they'll say, man, how can you be so calm in these kind of situations? What gives you that assurance? And then you can share the hope that lies within you.
Amen.
Yeah? A peace that passes all understanding, that guards your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God for what He does through our Lord and Savior. Might He teach us more every day. More about Jesus. That ought to be our theme. More about Jesus. Would I know? More of His grace to others share. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the example of one who learned more of You and shared more of You. Help us to be those who are constantly learning how to share Your Word of truth and share our Lord and Savior with others. Guide us and bless us and keep us by Your Spirit. Lead us into more of Your truth. Help us, Lord, to share that truth as we understand it. We ask and pray in Christ's name.
Amen.